Welcome to episode 646 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And you may have forgotten who I am. So I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games.
Frankly, they might have forgotten who both of us were. It's been like
well, you
three
were carrying
weeks since
things.
I put out a show.
I mean, you kept things going. I had South By. I've been down at the rental place. I was sick for 2 weeks. It's been absolutely crazy, but life is getting back to normal is a big word.
Right. The closest thing resembling normal for either of us. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of normal, what's normal for us is to have listener feedback. And you all have had plenty of time to give us listener feedback, and yet you didn't. In case you forgot, the email address is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or all the rest of our contact information will be at the end of the show. So, or just go over to the website, thedigitalmediazone.com, and it's all right there, clickable. We make it as easy as possible for you to send us some feedback. So do that for the next episode. Because now we've just got to dive straight into the news this week, which I guess it's the news of the last few weeks. We're going to pick the most important stories that we saw. And I'm most excited about this first one. I've been sitting on my NVIDIA Shield TV that I bought in the summer of 2015 for, that's almost 9 years now. And it's kind of, yeah, I know, it's crazy. It's crazy that it's still getting updates after 9 years. Like,
yeah,
how many mobile devices are getting updates 9 years later?
Right? True. Yet,
here's this Android device that still gets updates. So it's fine. One of my bigger problems has been that the remote doesn't work anymore. And we had been using a Logitech remote, so it didn't matter. But now that doesn't really work anymore. And so we're using the TV remote, but the TV remote doesn't have a home button, and not even a home button on your streaming box really sucks, because sometimes it gets like trapped in these loops of going from app to app to app. So I'm kind of just ready for something new, or maybe just a new remote. And we might be on the verge of actually getting something worthwhile for somebody like me to go and pick up. So the first news is that a YouTuber by the name of Superdell TV, it's a cord cutting YouTuber that I'd never heard of, walked into his local Walmart and found a new device that isn't even actually supposed to be on sale yet. And it's just called the Walmart On Pro Google TV, On with two N's. That's Walmart's in-house brand. We had wondered if they would change that after they bought Vizio.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No.
So new Google TV box. This is not just a streaming stick. It is a box. And there's a lot of interesting things to go along with it. So it's not just a box. It looks like a Nest Mini speaker. It has the little cloth mesh grill on the top. It's got the microphone mute switch on the side. But then also importantly, on the back, it has an Ethernet port, a USB port, in addition to the HDMI port. It is running on newer and higher spec hardware than some of the other devices we've seen out there. It's got an Amlogic S905X4. Really, the most important thing that you need to know there is the 4 at the end. That means that it is two versions newer of hardware than the Google Chromecast with Google TV, or whatever the heck they call that thing they released 3 years ago. It has 3 gigs of RAM instead of the 2 gigs of the other device, and 32 gigs of storage compared to the 8 that comes on Walmart's own 4K Google streaming stick and the official 4K Chromecast. So definitely higher specs. Are they high enough specs to edge out something like an NVIDIA Shield? Maybe not. Maybe not. Probably not. But if you just need a streaming box that isn't going to be super laggy, this is probably going to be really good. And the cost? $50.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Exactly. Like, you're burying the lead there, right? This is the $50 box, and you mentioned it looks just a whole lot like a Nest Mini. Well, that's because it also has Google Assistant on board.
Right.
Right. It's Google Assistant capable. So this kind of is this is a multi-purpose device. It is both an assistant device and it's a Google TV streaming device with 4K, all at $50. Pretty impressive. What about a remote? Does it come with a remote?
It does have a remote, but oddly, none of the articles that I saw showed the remote. I think it's the same remote that the current 4K streamer has.
From Walmart?
From Walmart, yeah.
Okay. I don't honestly know that remote at all, so I don't know if that's good or bad. But, I mean, this is really appealing, and frankly, kind of puts Walmart ahead of a lot of the other retailers in terms of their own branded device.
Yeah, especially in terms of Google TV, because your only real, at least widely available options are Google's own Chromecast with Google TV, $50, but very old hardware, getting kind of slow and sluggish, especially if you load it up with apps, and this On device that's basically about the same level of the older one, about the same level of performance. So, like, yes, this one is more expensive. The current Google TV 4K streaming stick from Walmart is only $20. So it is significantly more expensive than what Walmart already has. But it also seems like so much more in terms of performance and capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And is there word on whether or not this replaces the existing device, or whether this is just another device in their lineup?
No word yet, because Walmart hasn't officially said anything about this device.
Oh, right. It's not supposed to be out yet.
Right. If you go to the Walmart website, it's not there right now. But if you're interested, maybe you should wander into your local Walmart and see if they have them on shelves already.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I might need to pick one of these up just because it sounds awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm almost for sure going to get one, but I'm going to wait a little bit because of our next story. 9to5 Google is confirming the existence of an updated Chromecast 4K from Google. They're confirming that the new device will retain the $50 price point, but the only thing that they're really confirming about it is that it's getting a new voice-activated remote. The remote's going to look a little different, have some extra features on it, but they're not talking at all about the processor, the RAM, the storage, none of that.
Well, it can only be better.
It can only be better, yes. You would assume it's going to be better. And frankly, I wonder if it's going to be the same specs as this one from Walmart. But while I pointed out that the Walmart device has the S905X4 chip in it, there is an S906 that's available. So the Google one that's coming out could have an even better processor. We don't know for sure, but it might. It could have more storage. It could have more RAM. But if it really is just kind of a slight hardware refresh, and it's still a streaming stick and still just has the HDMI out port on it, then it's kind of already losing to what the Walmart device has, because the Walmart device has the speaker, it has the Ethernet port, which I think is critical. Like, I don't want my streaming boxes using Wi-Fi, even though my Wi-Fi router is like right by my TV. I still want it to be a wired experience so that I do not have to worry about what else is going on with my Wi-Fi network.
Right.
So no actual specs there. And maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into it, but the same site, 9to5 Google, has had multiple articles since this article released that have basically tried to get people to not get their hopes up too high about the performance.
Temper their expectations.
Exactly. Exactly. So it kind of makes you think that maybe they know a little more than they've already reported, and that maybe it's not going to be an NVIDIA Shield competitor. So Google I.O., which is their big developer conference, is only a couple of weeks away. It starts on May 14th, and that would be the day that it would make sense for Google to announce their new device. So we're recording this on May 1st. We've got 2 weeks. I think in 2 weeks, we'll know what's up with the Walmart device. We'll know what's up with Google's device. And then we're all going to have a better idea of what we might want to spend our own money on. But at this point, it's weird, but I feel like I'm betting on the Walmart device that's going to be the one I'm going to want. Yeah.
At this point, I mean, until we learn more from Google.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's the stuff I'm excited about this week. Now we've got the usual news. It's another price increase from a streaming service. This time, it's Peacock. And this one, I get to be super cynical about. Okay, so how much is it going up? $2. Doesn't matter what package you have, it's going up $2 a month. If you're on the ad-supported plan, you've been paying $5.99, it's going to be $7.99. If you've got the Premium Plus service, it's going from $11.99 to $13.99. $14 a month to me seems like kind of a lot. For Peacock, maybe it's not. I mean, it gets you lots of exclusive content. It gets you next day access to all of NBC's shows that are out there. It gets you access to some movies. And they do have some live sports. And in fact, sports that I'm interested in. They have racing and things like that on there. So maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh on the price. The dates. If you're a new customer, this new pricing goes into effect July 8th. If you're an existing customer, it doesn't go up until August 16th. But Richard, do you know what Peacock has exclusive rights to in the US this summer?
Yeah, starting at the end of July, that would be the Olympics.
Oh, interesting. Interesting that they're raising their prices right before the Olympics.
Right before the Olympics for new customers who might need to get a service they don't already have to be able to watch the Olympics on streaming.
So weird. I'm sure that's just completely coincidental.
Particularly since existing customers aren't going to get that increase until afterward. I'm sure it's just coincidental.
Yes.
It's just a coincidence. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. This is, wow. This is just, I mean, first of all, I think your gut feel that Peacock isn't worth, what is it,
$14 a month
now? Yeah, that's just it's absurd. That's absolutely absurd for Peacock, for what it brings, I think, personally. Now, I don't care about sports. I do care about the Olympics, but I generally don't care about sports. I don't care about their live programming. I don't care about their ridiculous number of fast channels that they also throw in there. I just don't care. But I mean, if it were not for the fact that I am getting this basically free because it's one of the services that American Express will reimburse me for digital services,
yep,
I would probably downgrade to ad-supported on Peacock for the amount of time that I watch Peacock programming.
Yeah.
Which is very rarely.
Yep. I do not subscribe to Peacock. I'm sure I did at one point, but I haven't in forever. But this is going to work because I'm going to sign up for Peacock for the Olympics. So they're going to get, well, we'll see. I don't know, $8 or $14 out of me.
Yeah, I for the Olympics, just suck it up for the Olympics. And
yeah,
then, and didn't we also report that they weren't doing any sort of free previews around the Olympics time?
I think you're right. I think you're right about that. I think the free trials are completely gone. Which
yeah, I mean, sense, I guess. Convenient timing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, do many of the services have free trials anymore?
Yeah. It's usually just down to like 7 days though now. Or five. So I actually tried DirecTV here down at the rental property to see how that would be. Oh my God, it's so slow and laggy. It's just unusable. Couldn't even consider putting it in here. Their free trial is 5 days.
Yeah. And that's like a $70 a month service or something like that, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it starts at like 70 or 80. Yeah.
Because that's a full like cable TV replacement service. So that's right. It's more expensive, right? Okay. Well, let's move on to probably happier news, at least maybe for you. Sonos users, you're getting a new app on May 7th. It'll be launching on iOS and Android. And Richard, I have zero experience with the Sonos app. I don't have any Sonos speakers. I've never even used the app. But it sounds like a much improved experience that will, at least one of the good things about it is that it'll be a far more customizable experience where you can not only control which services show up on the home screen, but you can specifically pin things that you might want, not just an album or an artist or a playlist, but more specific, like dynamically generated playlists. Like on Spotify, they've got their release radar playlist, which will always show you the latest music that comes out on Fridays, being able to pin things like that. If you swipe up from the bottom, you're going to be able to see every single speaker in your house, what it's playing, the volume settings, all of that. And then they're also going to ditch their desktop apps. The Windows and Mac apps are both being sunsetted and will be replaced with web apps. Richard, as a Sonos user and somebody who does have a lot of Sonos speakers, how often do you use the app and does any of this sound appealing?
Well, so I am encouraged by everyone's optimism about this because Sonos does not have a good track record of improving their app over time. In fact, quite the opposite. They have a history of continually regressing the usefulness and reliability of their app ecosystem. And so if in fact they've made major improvements, that is much, much needed because what we have now is just garbage, absolute garbage. So that's good. I'm not surprised they're getting rid of their desktop apps. They more or less said, yeah, we don't care about these anymore about 3 or 4 years ago. So that's not shocking. I am one of the people who uses the desktop app all the time because I listen to Sonos in my office when I work. And I don't love their app. So maybe if they've improved their mobile app, maybe on my Mac, I'll just be able to run that instead and not have to worry about, how bad or good their mobile app is. So this, I think, is good and welcome news, but I'm going to reserve judgment until we see this. Because like I said, not a good track record.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you won't have to wait long. It's only a week away.
Yeah. So by the time I get home, I'll probably be able to start playing with this.
All right. Well, we look forward to your review. Well, that's it for our news. Not a lot going on in the gaming world either. I would say, like in previous years, I would say this is the lull before E3, but there's no such thing as E3 anymore. But there is still summer events happening in early June. So I think that gaming news will largely be light for the month of May while we wait for the big announcements in June. So let's jump into what's going on in our entertainment centers. And since it's been like 6.5 years since Richard's been on the show, this is probably going to be like a 3-hour segment while he catches us up.
No, I'm really going to try and I'm going to do speed round on this, except I do want to talk about the latest updates on my home storage and networking situation, because one of the things that I talked about before is my long-term goal to, over time, increase the storage of my Synology, to wean myself from needing to use my Drobo for my movie library and my TV library. Why? Because Drobo support doesn't exist anymore.
The company doesn't even really exist.
Right. Gone. Exactly. So I have now added 2 additional 18 terabyte drives. I had already put 2 18 terabyte drives in there. And in total now, this gives me 40 terabytes of usable storage with double redundancy in terms of, drive failure. So that's good. And I've been moving all my movies over. And I thought I knew how to do this because I've done this multiple times in Plex. You keep the old ones there, you bring the new ones over, and Plex is supposed to figure out, oh, that's the same file name. That's the same thing as this other thing in the library with the same file name. We should use all the same metadata. Nope, didn't happen.
Oh, no.
So now I have duplicate entries of some of my movies, and they look identical. And then I have other movies that did match. And then I have movies where the match is just complete garbage, and I don't know what they were thinking. So I have to go through my movie library, which is over 900 movies, and fix this. Now, interestingly enough, TV series, no problems. No problems at all. It Wow. moved them all. It labeled them all. I was able to delete the old ones. It kept all the metadata. All good. So yeah, that's been kind of annoying. All right. So let's talk about what I've been watching. And serious speed round here, because it's been 2 months. So I was watching For All Mankind, season 4, when we last talked. Yeah, that's I've long finished that. I was watching Ghost season 4, I believe, from the UK. And season 5 now, if I wanted to watch it, I had to purchase it on one of the services. So we did, and we're watching that. Ghost season 3 is now out in the US. I finished watching Andor, finally. Season 1, there's going to be a season 2. I'm very happy about that. The Amazing Race is back, season 36, and I am caught up on that. Continued watching and have finished season 2 of The Courtship of Eddie's Father. There's one more season to watch through on that. I've also watched some episodes of The Bob Newhart Show, which is now no longer on Hulu. Now I have to go to Amazon Prime for it. And after season 3, I'm going to have to purchase seasons if I want to continue watching it, because seasons 4 through 6 are no longer available for free streaming for some reason. I watched all of the series of Young Royals. I watched the series Unstable on that's a series with Rob Lowe and his son. It is very, very funny. It's the kind of writing like Aaron Sorkin or that kind of walk and talk and just witty repartee between characters, and was a lot of fun. There's going to be a second season of that. That's on Netflix. Highly recommend it. Based on recommendations from some of our listeners, I started watching Resident Alien, and it's up. I'll probably keep watching it. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm 4 episodes in. It's entertaining, but it's not the thing that I rush back to watch again. Also decided I wanted to get back to the original Marvel TV series that had previously been on Netflix, and I had stopped after, I believe it was, I forget what it was called, but it was basically all 4 of the various characters together in one show. And after that, I stopped watching. And the next series was The Punisher. And his character never really interested me all that much, so I wasn't excited about watching it, and I started watching it. And it's really, really good. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised too.
Yeah, it's really good. So I'm thoroughly enjoying that. Watched the first episode of Fallout. Wow, that was weird. Watched the first episode of Foundation.
We need to talk a little bit more about that, because you have no experience with the game.
Yeah.
So did you have any context, anything about it that you knew?
I don't know anything. I don't know anything except for listening to the show creators talk about it at South By and say that you didn't need to know the game to enjoy the series. And I'm not entirely convinced that that is true, because I just found it weird and I didn't quite understand everything that was going on. But I will watch more probably. I'll probably give it 1 or 2 more episodes to see what I'm going to do with it.
Okay.
All right. Friend of mine wanted to start watching Foundation, so we started that, watched the first episode of that. Also weird. Not quite sure if I'm going to continue through on that. That's on Apple TV Plus. Again, same sort of thing. I'll probably give it an episode or 2. Everett and I watched all of Wednesday. I don't know why we waited so long. Wow, that show is so much fun. If you like the Addams Family and you like Tim Burton, you will absolutely love this series. They did an amazing job. It was fantastic, I thought. Watched the premieres when I was at South By. Yes, it's been that long. I was at South By, and I saw at South By the premieres for The Three-Body Problem and for season 5 of Star Trek Discovery. And after each, got to listen to and have Q&A with stars and showrunners from those shows. So that was a really cool experience and was really glad I had a chance to do that. Since then, watched all of Three Body Problem. I want to watch it again. I thought it was phenomenal. I agree with you completely. Josh, I'm really kind of disappointed that we didn't get to talk through that as we were watching it, because it's just so good. Also really enjoyed the Three Body podcast. Not really what I expected, but still very interesting. And so I will very likely continue to listen to that if they do the same thing with the following seasons. As I mentioned, Discovery season 5, that has started. So I'm watching that. The full experience, the thing now that has replaced Cord Killer's Spoil in Time, had episodes of The $6 Million Man that they were watching. So I'm like, yeah, why not? So first, last, ultimate, and lowest rated episodes of $6 Million Man. And wow, that was kitschy. Brought back good memories, but does not hold up to time. And a bunch of movies. Watch Wonka. Loved it. Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, basically Aquaman 2. Enjoyed it. 65. Really cool twist. Didn't do so well in the theaters, but enjoyed it. Astronaut kind of person ends up on a planet with dinosaurs. but fun. It was cool. Never saw the movie Brewster's Millions from the 80s. And Edward's like, hey, let's watch that. So we did. And wow, we're very 80s, but also enjoyed it. Finally, watched Dune Part 1. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. When I get home, I will be expecting my copy of Dune Part 2. And so we'll be watching that soon. We watched the movie Renfield, a character from the Dracula lore and universe. And it was kind of a comedy, believe it or not. And it was very creative. Enjoyed it. And then friends of mine were here and had talked about how good the Hunger Games movies were. And I'm like, yeah, I only watched the first one of those. Like, no, you have to watch. So we watched through the remainder of the Hunger Games movies, but I did not see the fourth one. So the part two of the third story, I still have to watch that, but I have absolutely enjoyed those. Some audiobooks. I listened to the, I think it's the most recent book that my friend David Swinson had written called Sweet Thing, finished that. And then I'm currently listening to, with my work book club, sorry for tripping on that, the book The Coming Wave, which is about preparing yourselves as both people and a society for the coming technologies and what we can do to harness and maybe not let them get out of control. And a random digital thing, I think I had mentioned that at Christmas, the consultancy that I work through, we got as a gift a subscription for the year for Masterclass. And I didn't really have any experience with Masterclass before. So one of the things that I've also been partaking in digital media is watching Masterclasses, which are anything from 15-minute segments, and they can be like anywhere from 1 to 15 of them, depending on what the subject is and who does it. And it's basically experts in their field talking about how they do what they do. So I watched one about business innovation with Rosalind Brewer. It was fine. Not fantastic. It was fine. What I did love was Matthew Walker, the author of Why We Sleep. And he had a series called The Science of Sleep. And it was fascinating. And wow, do I need to do better in sleep, Josh? I do not sleep well, and I need to sleep much better, because turns out it's really important.
It is kind of important.
All right. I think I did that in almost around 10 minutes. I think I did pretty well there. So
yeah, definitely it's up a to Richard you now. Speed round. Yeah. Well, mine won't take long. I've had sickness, as everybody can tell from my voice, that's had me going to bed early and things like that. So not a ton that I've watched and played lately. I am back on track trying to make it through Final Fantasy VII Remake on PlayStation 4. I don't remember the name of the area. It's in the Walled Entertainment District, doing the big fight against the stupid Hell House. Like, it's such a weird game. Why am I fighting a house? I'm fighting a house. It's weird and it's hard. And annoying. So, but the rest of the game, it's good. TV, I watched all of Three Body Problem. I think I talked about that on the last episode. Yeah, and loved it.
Yep.
I want to bring up the podcast real quick, because you said, make sure you listen to the podcast. And I went in with fairly high expectations, because you, when I was watching...
Last of Us,
that's it. You were like, you have to listen to the podcast.
Yep.
And the Last of Us podcast was so good.
Yep.
This is not quite at that level.
No.
Not really all that close to that. Like, it's a good show, but it's not even close to the one from The Last of Us. And the thing that I found really frustrating is the release schedule. So Netflix released the entire Three Body Problem TV series at once. But with the podcast, they're like, well, it's a weekly podcast. We're going to release these weekly. But I'm not watching the show weekly.
Right, right. 100%. That was such a fumble. I don't know what they were thinking there, except that maybe from a production perspective, they couldn't get out ahead of it enough.
Right.
And, you know, to let enough people watch this and then participate in the show ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't like that either. I also didn't like that it wasn't episode per episode. They had 6 episodes of the podcast and 8 episodes of the series.
Right.
So it you were always talking about more than one episode at any point in time. And sometimes an episode of the show would be discussed in multiple episodes of the podcast. It was very confusing. I did not like that. But I also did still learn a lot. They had good guests. They had actors and showrunners on, and that was informative. But there was also a lot of bluff, I thought.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. All right, I watched all of Fallout. I am a Fallout fan. At least I liked Fallout 3 a lot. I really enjoyed the show. I think they captured like everything about the game really well. The very interesting tone that it takes, where it tries to be somewhat humorous, despite the fact that it's a really terrible post-apocalyptic situation. I don't have the words to describe all of that super well, but they matched the tone of the video game perfectly. Like, all of the music is perfect. It's I think it's really good. Again, like many other shows, maybe my biggest complaint is it's gorier than it needs to be. It's way gorier than it needs to be in a couple of instances. But I think it works. Like, it's fine because it's Fallout, and like, you kind of expect it to just be a little bit gross, but maybe didn't need to be quite as gory as it was. But I think they did the game really, really, really well as a show. And frankly, I hope that they take the people who worked on this and have them work on the story for the next game. Because the stories of the games outside of Fallout 3, in terms of the ones that I've actually played, the games, none of them have had a better story than this TV show. So I would love it if this could flow back into the game. That would be really, really nice. And in terms of where it fits within the game's lore, this takes place after all of the existing games. So, and it's canon, so it could be really interesting in how it could potentially feed into the next game. But the next game could be 8 years away. Like, it could be a long ways away because of other things that studio is working on. So this show could come and go before the next Fallout game comes out, right? Even though season 2 has already been like renewed and greenlit. So I like it. I'll be curious to hear what you think after you watch another episode or two, and if you end up sticking with it. All right. On books, I told you all on the last one that I had started The Stand by Stephen King. Yep. It is a 48-hour audiobook. For my work book club, it caused me to take a break from The Stand to read a book called Parable of the Sower by Octavia E. Butler, which is nowhere near a new book. It was published in the 90s, early 90s. The rest of my book club apparently liked it. I didn't love it. It's a post-apocalyptic story about a girl with ultra empathy. Like, she can literally feel the feelings of other people. I don't know. The book is book one in a series, and maybe they're just trying to set up everything for the rest of the series. But the story wasn't great. The empathy thing didn't really factor that much into the story. Her concept of, like, really, it seems like the bigger thing is she's starting a cult around the idea that there is no actual God. The only God is change. And I just couldn't get past the idea of, like, change isn't a God. Like, I don't care what your religion is, whether you're atheist or not, like, change isn't a God. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And I couldn't get past that. So I'm back to The Stand, and I'm close to done. I think I have about 6 hours remaining.
That's impressive.
Yeah. It's been a really, really interesting book. I'm very curious to see how this ends. It's Stephen King, so I keep trying to tell myself, don't expect this to have a super happy ending.
Even have all of the ends tied.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point, because it does feel like the ending is coming on very quickly in a way that maybe they're not going to be able to tie it all up. Did you read this or watch any of the miniseries that appeared in the 90s?
I did
or
not.
Anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So I will for sure finish this before the next episode of Entertainment 2.0. So I will give you my full review next week, I guess. All right. So that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center. If you want to get a hold of us, there are a lot of ways you can do that. I'm on Twitter still, sort of, at Josh Pollard. So is the website, at DigiMediaZone. Richard is on Mastodon, at Richard Gunther over there. You can also hear Richard in another place very soon. Richard, you've got a new episode of Home On coming up?
Yeah, so I am really happy to be recording the next episode of Home On. Yes, it still exists. I told you it didn't go away. And that is going to be with Allison Sheridan. Allison and her husband have been covering technology for, I don't know, geez, like 20 years. And if you listen to the Nasillacast, I highly recommend that you do if you don't already. It's a fascinating, fun, educational podcast weekly. She's coming up on 1,000 episodes, and I thought it would be fun for me, who hasn't done an episode in, I don't know, maybe 8 months, to get together with a person who has never once missed a week.
Wow.
In 1,000 episodes. Never once.
That's impressive.
So she's going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about some of the smart home quirks, some of the issues that you find in your smart home, and what some of her experiences have been. So I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it also. And I'm looking forward to us getting into maybe more of a normal routine schedule for this show. And if that's true, then we should be back to recording live. We'll probably even be back to Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. But that's going to do it for episode 646. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.